I kind of set this up in a sort of accidentally, I set this up in kind of a dichotomy. Because we recognize this morning the people that do the exact opposite of what Jesus is warning against here. Because Jesus is warning against placing stones in front of the children so they stumble. And our Sunday school teachers, they take away the stones, they clear the path, they direct to Jesus. And so I kind of set it up in this weird difference where we have the example and then we have the compared to what Jesus is saying not to do. But I thought about this a lot. And I had to think about why is it that Jesus says that they should be like the children? And some questions came into mind. Is it because Jesus chose a polite child? Did Jesus grab a polite child and say, be polite like this polite child? Did Jesus grab a studious child? A child that could read the scriptures and teach lessons like Jesus had done? Did Jesus grab a quiet child and say, be like this quiet child? Did Jesus grab an eloquent child who even at a young age could speak in complete sentences? Did he grab a charismatic child who could lift your heart and melt your heart of stone and just make you smile? If you were right now wondering to yourself, where did Pastor Rob come up with all of these things? Good, because they're completely from my mind. I pulled them out of thin air because they have nothing to do with what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus doesn't say, be polite like this child, doesn't say, be charismatic or helpful like this child. He doesn't say that the child needs to be anything other than a child. Because that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's not talking about good children, good, giant air quotes on that, good children. He's not talking about being somehow perfect in every way. He's not talking about the sort of childhood that makes us comfortable, that we want in our worship service, that doesn't disrupt, that makes us all just happy to see and then is seen and not heard. It's not what Jesus says. Jesus says you are to become like children if you are to be the greatest. I'm going to do something. This is going to be very weird for us. If you are over the age of 18, no, we're going to jump that up. If you're over the age of 25, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to raise your hand if you've said any one of these things or something like it. Kids these days. Millennials have done something. When I was a kid, okay, so if you've said any of those, leave your hands up. If the kids would just do and then insert something that you think they should do, or not do and insert something you think they should not do. All right, everyone open your eyes. We're all guilty of it. My hand can go up too. Because we want kids to be like us. We've convinced ourselves that kids need to be little adults. That's what we want kids to be. We don't want kids to be kids. We want them to be adults in little bodies. We want them to be like us, how our childhood was. We want them to act like we did when we were kids. We want them to not interrupt what we're doing. We want them to fit into our mold. But Jesus says, the greatest among you is this little child. Doesn't say the little child is good. Doesn't say the little child is perfect. Doesn't say it meets any, it does give it a gender, but doesn't say he meets any sort of requirements, just that it is a little child. It's interesting to me that it goes into talking about stumbling blocks. And I paired that with that passage about Jesus blessing the children because there's a major stumbling block that we're really capable of putting out there. It's preventing the access to Jesus through whatever we do. May it be the disciple saying, no, don't bring the kids to Jesus. They don't need to be there. Or us saying, who you are isn't welcome in our church. Because we all know what the disciples are thinking. The teacher's too important. He's got too much to do. There are important people that need to talk to him. Kids have dirty, grubby little hands. Keep them away. We know what they're thinking. They probably got a little indignant when Jesus was like, no, bring them on. The same disciples that had heard Jesus talk about the little child being the greatest had denied access to children to Jesus. We deny access to Jesus too. We might not even realize it. We're pretty good with the little ones. Like when they're still babbling and cooing or barely getting words out, when they don't realize that they're interrupting the worship service, we are great with that. We love the little ones, the really little ones. We love them. Like Meg Kinder, we just love having a baby in the sanctuary. But once they get a little older and they can talk, and they might know that they're interrupting something. They might know that there's a proper way to do things. They might know that there's an order and rhythm of things. And because they are who God made them, they interrupt that, and they make us uncomfortable, and they make noise, and things happen. We stop liking them being themselves. I think I've told this story. I don't know if I've told it in a sermon, but some people have heard it. The first church I preached at, which is actually where Sue and I met, there were two little boys, and they sat basically in this pew, and they lined up all of the hymnals, and they put two of them in a triangle, and they had their cars, and they ran them back and forth the whole service. And this didn't happen once. This happened multiple times. One, teaching me to just roll with the flow and worship, but also, that's who God made them. At that point in their life, they were rambunctious, energetic boys who needed to do something, and so they ran cars back and forth. And you know what? That was wonderful. Maddening. Don't misunderstand me. As a second-year seminary student preaching for the first time in front of a congregation without a safety net. Maddening, but beautiful and wonderful. If I had made a point to point it out and say it was wrong, I would have given the message that they, as God made them, we're not welcome in my sanctuary. We do that. We are so good at doing that. And kids are smart. If you tell them that being who they are is not welcome in the sanctuary, they'll figure it out. And they'll learn that they're not welcome in the church. They're not welcome to gaze upon the cross. they're not welcome to worship in a body, and it'll drive them away. And remember what I said, one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we can put for somebody is to tell them, no, you can't be here. Our Jesus is not for you. And especially if you tell somebody that is just being who God made them. Now, I'm not trying to say don't discipline kids, don't correct kids, don't try to teach them how worship works. But telling anyone, child, adult, that God made you this way, because God made us, and God doesn't make mistakes. We make mistakes. We are broken. But God doesn't make mistakes. He has made us. Who God made you is not welcome in this sanctuary because it makes me uncomfortable. That is a stumbling block for that person because the God that we love, the God that loves us, the God that sent Jesus Christ to save us, the God that fills us with the Holy Spirit, is no longer accessible by that person. We're like the disciples shooing them away, saying, go away. And it's fascinating to me because what Jesus tells them is that we are supposed to basically be little children in adult bodies. We want children to be little adults in child-sized bodies, and we are supposed to be little children in adult-sized bodies. That's what God is commanding us to do. That is what is being demanded of us. That is who the greatest is. I want to first thank the Sunday school teachers and the Sunday school participants. This is an aside. This isn't supposed to be leading into the next thing. This is just an aside. Thank you. Because you are clearing the stones. Some of you are clearing the stones for the physical children, the ones that are smaller and young and need teaching. Some of you are clearing the stones for God's children as they're older and creating the path and showing the way to Jesus. And I've heard from multiple people that that fellowship and that learning brings them closer to Christ. So thank you. Full stop. Thank you. As adult Christians, though, I think we can do better. Because we aren't just called to teach the children as I read this passage. We are called to learn from them, to see their loving and joyful and strong faith that can only exist in youth, and to live out that faith. So do what I said. Become a child in an adult's body. Like I said a couple weeks ago, stop worrying so hard about everything and just love and have faith. Don't worry about properness. Don't worry about sitting there like the frozen chosen that we are. Have a loving, strong, innocent faith. Be like the children. Don't look for children to be adults in child-sized bodies. Make yourself a child in an adult-sized body. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.